Well, hey everybody, my name is Josh Erickson, and it is my pleasure to welcome you to the online service for Park Ridge Presbyterian Church. And I am so excited to be spending this time with you, no matter when you might be engaging in this online service. Like I said, my name is Josh, and I'm one of the pastors of Park Ridge Presbyterian Church. And today we're going to talk about what it looks like to have a compass that orients our lives, that helps us love God and love others more, and how important it is to have that when life and the world around us seems to be on tilt or at the edge of sanity. So if you're watching this service and watching this message for the first time, we're bringing this to you in the beginning, in the middle of September 2025. And over the past week, we have had another set of shocking events and tragedies go on in our country. We've had another school shooting in the Denver area, and we've had the assassination of Charlie Kirk. And there's been other challenges that keep coming to the foreground with the war in Ukraine, the war in Gaza, and other aggressive actions around the world. Now, I mention that because I want to be sure that we're all thinking through together about just how much the world feels like it's on tilt, and just like it feels like we're at the edge of sanity in many ways right now. And when we get to a place like this, myself included, we often wonder, what should we do? What's the next step that we can take? What do people who are followers of Jesus do in circumstances like this, especially when so many of these things are really outside of many of our ability to control or influence the next steps? And so when we get to places like this, we want to consider, how can we be more faithful? How can we be more of the people God wants us to be in the circumstances that we're facing? This continues the conversation we started last week about having lives that are faithful, meaning we are full of faith and seeking to share the blessing of our faith with others. And we talked about how we can help more people experience the gift of our community. When we find ourselves in moments where we don't know what to do, when we feel like we're at a loss, we want to focus on how can we be more full of faith, and by using the definition that Jesus gives to us of what that looks like. And so what I want us to do is to look at the story of Jesus that calls people to love God and love others. Now, this particular story that I'm thinking about comes from the Gospel of Mark. Gospel of Mark is Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. We got those four. And in the particular story in the Gospel of Mark, chapter 12, Jesus is told to be having conversations with the Pharisees, the Sadducees, and the scribes. Now, this is like the trifecta of leaders back in the day of ancient Israel. The Pharisees were probably seen as the point leaders. They were the people who were collaborating with Rome to try to keep things on the up and up. The Sadducees were seen as more of the moral leaders, as it might be, and the people that were in charge of different laws. And then there were the scribes. And these would have been the people that were like the lawyers and the people that were the educated ones, related to some of the temple activities as well. Now, Jesus had just mowed through down like questions and tricks and challenges that the Pharisees and the Sadducees were offering. But then the scribes came up, and it'd be like the lawyer kind of test you about your knowledge of the law, if it was a modern day example. And for though many of us would be like, I don't know the law. But the good news is that Jesus knew the law perfectly, it seemed. So they asked Jesus, what are the most important commandments? What is the most important commandment out there? And Jesus, knowing that he was going to give them a great answer, said, well, the first one is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind and your strength. And the second is to love your neighbor. And this is where we get the call from Jesus to love God and love others. That's the double love commandment, to love God and love others, loving God with our heart, our soul, our mind and our strength, and loving others in the same way. Now, in the Gospel of Mark, when Jesus gives the answer, the scribe says, you have answered well. And then the scribe goes one step further and says, it is true that God values these things more than any burnt offering or sacrifice than one can offer in the temple. And in a very rare instance, it says in the scriptures that Jesus was impressed with the answer that the scribe gave, and they kind of moved on from there. Now, this is one of those cornerstone moments that we should, as people who are seeking to follow Jesus, should latch onto and hold up in our hearts and our minds as a way to help us to know how to live it always, but especially when things are so chaotic around us. What Jesus teaches there is that we want to love God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. And that is a callback to one of the passages in Deuteronomy, and then the second thing, to love others, in Leviticus. What's amazing here is that Jesus is simply taking an Old Testament teaching, the cornerstone of the Jewish faith for that matter, and brings it forward to his moment and says, this is what is most important. Now, when we hear Jesus teaching about loving God and loving others, this is sometimes a little bit abstract because we have maybe a more flattened sense of this in our lives. So to put a little more context to it, I want to bring forward what Jesus says and how to love and where to love. He says we want to love with our heart, soul, mind, and strength. Now, this is four different ways that we can think about love and putting love into action in our lives. And again, when we think about loving with our heart, soul, mind, and strength, we can think about these as like a compass in our lives. Now, we can know what a regular compass is. It shows us what north, south, east, and west are. I've been showing my kids on my phone and that there's a compass app, and so they're getting a sense of what that looks like. You know, previously you had to remember and know that the sun rises in the east and sets in the west. Now they can know exactly where they're going and actually what the elevation is for that matter. It's kind of interesting these days. But when we think about there's being a compass that is oriented about how to love God and love others, it is oriented with our mind, our soul, our body, and our strength. And that can help us understand what we're looking at. Our heart, our mind, our soul, our strength. Now, there's another teaching that can help us put this into action a little further, which is one of the teachings in the book of Galatians written by the Apostle Paul, where he talks about the fruits of the Spirit. And I bring this up because I want us to draw a connection to the kind of love and how we're going to love and what it looks like put into action. Because what it means to be a follower of Jesus is that we know that God loves us, that God has forgiven us of our sins so that we can live the life of freedom. But what happens then next is the Holy Spirit, God's Spirit, comes into our lives so that we live differently, so that we cultivate a different worldly experience for others around us. And when that happens, these things about God's love and God's Spirit become true also in our lives. And those fruits of the Spirit, in case you haven't heard before, are love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And one of those, actually two of those, each factor into how we love. If we're going to love people with our heart, that means we're going to love people with the passion in our lives. What that looks like then perhaps is manifested is that sense of love in the kind of the general sense that we think about, but also joy. So loving people with our hearts means we're caring for them. Loving people so that we have joy in our lives means that we are sensing that there's something beautiful about life that we're going to experience with them. And that's the kind of love that we want to have. Then we want to be able to love with our mind. That means that we want to be able to be loving with the intellect that we have. Now, that doesn't mean that we're just being smarter and gathering more information and being able to answer a Jeopardy question better or to be the smartest person at trivia night, although those are fun things too. What it also means is that we are bringing about more peace and patience in our lives and in the lives of the people around us. Because that's what the smartest people do. The most intellectually responsible people bring about more peace and bring about more patience for themselves and with others and in their part of the world that they're influencing. So if you're loving people with your mind, you're helping create more peace and more patience in your life and in the world around you. Then Jesus tells us we're supposed to love people with our soul. And to think about that is, I want to suggest that loving people with our soul is like loving people with our skills and abilities. We hear that phrase, I put my heart and soul into it. And when people say that, what they typically mean is that they use their passion, they use their energy, and they use their abilities, the things that they can do well, to make something special happen. And I think that is a way to think about what it means to love people with our soul, with our almost like our very beings. And when that happens, we bring them more kindness and more goodness in the world. So when we use our skills and abilities to be a blessing, the world becomes a more kind place, filled with more goodness, you're more kind, I'm more kind, and then the people that we impact, they become more kind. They produce more goodness. And if we're loving them, that's what happens when we love with our minds. And the last thing is to love with the strength. And that does mean, I think, to love people with physical actions that our body as allows us to do. So if we're gonna love people with our strength, that means it's gonna manifest in more gentleness and self-control. These are the ways in which we can put love into action in more ways than not. Now, there's lots of ways to serve people. We need to meet their needs, their physical needs, their spiritual needs, emotional needs. But when we think about how do we love them with the strength that we have, with our hands putting love into action, they're gonna experience more of these things of the gentleness and self-control. Now, the gentleness is because we're gonna bring about a more gentle spirit through the loving actions that produce more peace and calm in their lives. But also, if we exercise more self-control, not just individually, but collectively and across the world, then there's gonna be just enough of what people need. So oftentimes we think about meeting the physical and mental and social needs of people, like how are we gonna do this? Well, part of the challenge is that there's enough out there to help everybody, but not everybody gets it because there's not enough self-control around our actions. Now, it might be that you and I, who are part of Park Ridge Presbyterian, we might not have the ability to influence the needs of the many, but we can influence the needs of a few, and especially the people in our life, by showing more self-control. Now, this is a very comprehensive and very holistic view of what it looks like. If you are thinking about how do we put this into action in your daily lives, we want to remember that metaphor of the compass. That at the core of the center is Jesus' calling to love God and love others. And we want to make sure that we do that with our heart, with our soul, with our mind, and our strength. And when we do that, it's the best thing we can do when the world around us just seems so complicated and chaotic and so on tilt or on edge. Because the most important thing you can do in a time like this is to not bring less love into the world, but to bring more love into the world. And when you bring more love into the world, you are responding to God's call to love God and love others. We need to do it in the best of times and in the most challenging of times. In the best of times, it might be easier, but in the hardest of times, it's needed the most. So let's be loving when it's needed the most, now and always. Would you please pray with me? Holy God, we thank you for the time that we've spent together. And in this particular time, we lift up to you those who are grieving the loss of Charlie Kirk. We pray for those who are grieving the loss of the students and the shootings in Denver. We pray over those who we do not know and are struggling with the loss of loved ones, for any of the challenges that people are facing these days. God, we are mindful that you are calling us to be loving, to love you and love others as best we can. God, help us to be people who are willing to do this no matter what circumstances we are facing to the best of our abilities. We know you have called us to do this. Help us to do this now as best we can. We pray this in your name. Amen.